When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger, and I'm joined by Billy Muzio. Starting a couple minutes early here. It's a big, big week for us, Billy. This is week 16. This is like the nitty-gritty. For a lot of fantasy managers, week 16 is like the money week. If you're in a home league, those teams that are in the final two, they're winning a lot of the money, and a lot of times third place doesn't get paid anything. So this is like the big-time tilting week. How excited are you for week 16? Do you have a lot of hard lineup decisions yourself?
I do have quite a bit of hard lineup. Are we starting DeAndre Swift anymore? Are we starting, you know, Ford or Swift? Like those are real decisions now. And, you know, a lot of people may have Eckler in that conversation as well, who has been just absolutely pitiful. And can you trust Eckler? Can you not trust Eckler? The Chargers offense is a mess. So you normally think you're starting your studs, and now your studs aren't so clear sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big mistake that a lot of people make is a shout out to Ryan McDowell. Ryan McDowell likes to look at like the last six games stats and the last six games usage. And I think it's a great way to really kind of evaluate what you're looking at, because I think a lot of times fantasy managers still get so lost in like that counting stat mentality where you'll think, hey, it's the fantasy playoffs. You know, this guy with a big name is going to have the big performance. I can't afford to sit that guy down. Whereas a lot of times the guys that are the heroes of now week 17 and in years past week 16 are those guys that really during the year were not really moving the needle. You think about like Rashad Penny, Devin Singletary, those kind of incredible performances, Tyler Higbee at the tight end position. Those are the kind of guys we should be chasing. And not trying to go back in like to the past. And it's sort of like the sunk cost fallacy with early season lineup decisions. Now that we're here, we don't need to like make a mistake just to kind of get our quote unquote studs in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I don't go back as far as 6 weeks. I think that that can be a bit deceiving at times, but 3-4 week trends are usually what I like to follow. I'm really big on 3 week trends. If there's a buy in there, that's where I'm going back 4 weeks to see what that usage looks like. Because a lot can happen in 6 weeks. I think that's it's still a good practice. It's just maybe a slight adjustment to how that data is looked at. But I like that process a lot. And I do the same.
Now, a lot of people who've watched First Class Fantasy have been following our bet, Billy. And this bet was dead in the water. But what percentage are you giving me now? So Jackson Smith and Jigba finishing inside of wide receiver 3 land was kind of our big bet before the season. I felt incredibly arrogant and incredibly cocky, and I felt like I was literally taking your money with the bet. And it's been a constant source of like frustration. I've had a lot of Billy like texting me and talking trash. A lot of people in the chats, you know, either Team Billy or Team Theo on this bet. But Billy, last week I got a touchdown at JSN. He's like in striking distance. You got Tank Dell still in there. Christian Kirk still ahead of him. Those guys, he's gonna pass. What are we thinking? What are my chances now of Jackson Smith and Jigba finishing inside the top 36 with a couple weeks left?
I mean, he's got an out. I think he's about 30 fantasy points roughly away in PPR leagues from hitting it. So there's some names ahead of him that have literally been putting up zeros for multiple weeks. Gabe Davis is sitting at wide receiver 42. And I don't know if you saw my tweet, that he's got 2 weeks in a row with zeros. Three of his last four contests are zeros, and four of his last six contests are zeros. So helping the cause here for Theo. Drake London and Arthur Smith are helping the cause. Christian Kirk has helped the cause being injured. Pick been much there inside Pittsburgh. And Zay Flowers, of course, you know, we saw what he did last week, has been inconsistent as well. So there's a few names ahead of him that are definitely helping the cause, but there's a couple names behind him that might catch him too. Deontay Johnson's right there. Tyler Boyd's right there. You have T. Higgins, who probably might catch him here shortly. So I don't know. I'm going to put your chances at, I'm going to say 12.5%. Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it. Cause a couple weeks ago it was like -12%. So I'm feeling a little loose. It's the holiday season. It's like, you know, anything can happen. Anything is possible. Kevin, shout out Kevin Garnett. Billy, I want to get to a bunch of these start sit questions we have in the chat. But first let's take a break and let's hear a word from our sponsor. When we get back here, we're going to answer everything. We're going to rip through all of them. And Billy and I are also going to talk about the return of Jonathan Taylor. I mean, it's wild times here in week 16.
Hey, so many ask me, what's wrong with sports books? Why so many of them fail? The answer is simple. They don't innovate. They're just casino sports books on a phone. That's all they've been. There are a few that are doing a good job. We partner with them. Most of them, not so much. Until BetOpenly came along. BetOpenly said, hey, we're going to innovate. We're going to do something groundbreaking. We're going to have peer-to-peer betting in all states, and you pay 1%. When you win, you pay just 1% on your winnings. You heard that right. It's 1%. With code UNDERWORLD, you qualify for just that 1% transaction fee on BetOpenly. It gives you ultimate flexibility to set your own lines and browse lines that others have set. Think about it. That's what betting should be, and now that is the reality. BetOpenly.com. The code is UNDERWORLD. Check it out.
Welcome back to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger, joined as always by Billy Muzio. And Billy, we've got let's just start right on Thursday night, okay? We're recording this on Thursday, so if you listen to this, it's probably going to be on Friday on the podcast. But people in the chat right now, we've got Chris Olave coming back tonight, missed last week. And it's funny because, you know, if we went back to the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have too many start sit questions with Chris Olave. But this is one giving people a lot of problems this week. I personally am starting Chris Olave in a few spots. And I think you could agree with me where this time of year, it's either fantasy law where either you have really hard start sit decisions or you're starting guys you wish you weren't even rostering. You're just surviving and advancing. But Chris Olave, where are we at? What should we expect of him? About where do you have him this week?
I was going to say, it's one of those things that more than likely he's in your lineup and you're starting him just because it's very bleak out there right now in terms of talent that you can start based upon injuries or teams being shut down, players being out, whatever it may be. So, I mean, I haven't been in a few. I'm starting him. There's, you know, not really a lot of start sit decisions I have in leagues that are fairly deep. You know, it's like Jacoby Myers versus Olave. I'm playing Olave, right? I'm going to hate myself if I sit Olave because he's got, you know, an injury re-risk. That is what I've been seeing float around. And then, you know, he goes off for 100 yards and a touchdown. And so I know we just kind of went against saying start your studs, but he's the number one wide receiver on an offense that is going to be targeting him as lacking other weapons into the passing game. And so it's one of those things that if he's in, you got to play him.
Okay. I'll give you one of my own start sits for Chris Olave. Chris Olave versus Amari Cooper.
I'm probably still playing Chris Olave.
Chris Olave versus the high volume Chuba Hubbard. I'm Olave, but you could talk me out of it.
This was close, actually. I'd probably go Chuba here just because, okay, just because we know he's probably going to see get probably 18 to 20 carries. I'd probably start Chuba over Olave.
In the chat from Red Rizzle, PPR Olave or Puka Nacua?
I'd go Puka.
I'm easily going Puka Nacua in that one. We have one more Puka Nacua question, and the Rams are 4-point favorites. Nice 46-point total. We love seeing that this time of year. This one is Puka Nacua, Mike Evans, Rashi Rice, or Devontae Adams. He has to sit one of them. This is kind of a difficult one, Billy. So again, Puka Nacua, Mike Evans, Rashi Rice, and Devontae Adams. He has to sit one of them.
Yeah. Oh, man. I would normally say Vegas, but they're playing the Chargers and the or they're playing Kansas City. I mean,
I might sit Puka.
Yeah, man. Maybe Tampa Bay's got Jacksonville. This is flip a coin territory. I don't honestly don't think you can go wrong either way. I mean, Puka's all these guys could be potential top 12 options this week. If I'm following the projections and the rankings 100%, I have, let me see here. I think I have Adams the lowest of the group just before wide receiver 20. So if I'm following the projections, it's Davante Adams, but he just started getting kind of hot and Kansas City could become a shootout. So it's a tough one. I wouldn't argue if you chose either way, but I'd probably start Puka. Puka's been pretty consistent and I think Stafford's kind of hitting stride right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're making a big argument. I'll say that it's fantasy law though, Billy. If you sit Davante Adams like on Christmas week, he's going to go for 30 points and you're never going to forget it in the history of your life.
The problem is that any of these guys care this week. I mean, Rice has been a top 12 receiver in three of the last four matchups. You know, Puka's good as wide receiver one almost any given week. Mike Evans has been, you know, probably one of the best receivers in football this year. So it's, I would say it's hard to sit any three of those guys right now. And you can make an argument for any of these guys, quite frankly, but this is flip a coin territory. And I think Adams is the odd man out for me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because we're also getting quarterback questions and on the show sheet, I had, you know, a discussion with some Nick Mullins, but we're getting a Nick Mullins versus Derek Carr question tonight. I'm quite easily starting Nick Mullins, Billy. Am I wrong to be so confident in Nick Mullins in his second career start over Derek Carr tonight on Thursday Night Football?
You know, Mullins had some flashes when he was with the Niners as well. I don't think it's necessarily wrong to want to go Mullins, but I have a slight lean the other way. So I'm going to – it's pretty close though, but I think this is also coin flip territory.
Now let's have another question that with Derek Carr. You talk about how health this time of year, you know, a lot of times we just go with the healthier option. I have a Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr team. Okay. And I know a couple people that have this combination for whatever reason. Somebody else texted me about it this week. There's a couple guys I could add. This is a dynasty league, but nobody like good. I could always add like CJ Beathard and just be invested in the Jacksonville quarterback position. But are you using Derek Carr tonight or holding out for not a, you know, T-Law is not like exactly lighting the world on fire. He's been extremely disappointing, but he still would be considered higher in the rankings than Carr this week. Are you using Carr tonight or would you hold out for that one?
I'd hold out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hold out. I don't want to have too much invested in Derek Carr tonight. I want to switch gears here, not in the chat, but on our show sheet, Jonathan Taylor. This seems like this could be like a tilting player for the fantasy playoffs. It's almost a perfect storm, Billy, because Zach Moss very unfortunately goes down last week, and I think it would have been a smash game. I think it would have been a 25-point game for Zach Moss based on the success that the other Indianapolis running backs had throughout the second half. Both, you know, Goodson and Trey Sermon were both quite successful. Zach Moss out. But now you have Jonathan Taylor coming back. And this was one where I didn't necessarily think he'd be back this quick. We were kind of writing him off. But it's like a Christmas present for Jonathan Taylor managers. I know I have a couple teams still in the mix where I can just insert him back in. Is this like the perfect storm, Jonathan Taylor? Does he get 50 touches the next 2 weeks?
I think it very well depends on Michael Pittman's health as well and what his status is for Sunday. But this might be, you know, a false present. It's like one of those boxes inside of a box, inside of a box, inside of a box. And you think you got this giant present, and the next thing you know, you're opening this present like this big. And that could be Jonathan Taylor this week because he's facing the Atlanta Falcons. And Atlanta Falcons are the second most stingiest in the NFL. They've only given up 235 fantasy points all season. They've given up less than 1,200 yards all season. They're giving up a league low 3.7 yards per carry. And they've given up. You want to guess how many touchdowns they've given up on the ground all season, Theo?
It's low, like 7.
0 on the ground. 0. 0 on the ground versus the running back. They've given up 4 through the air versus running backs all season. So only 4 on the season total. I'm not liking Jonathan Taylor's, you know, surprise Christmas present for folks to think it's going to be a trap play.
Okay. All right. There you go. Jonathan Taylor. A lot of people are going to – where are you going to have him ballpark in your rankings? Because I've seen a couple people pushing him right into the RB1 line.
I will not have him that high. I'm probably going to have him closer to RB20.
Here's a question. One more question for tonight. Derek Carr or Joe Flacco? I'm going Joe Flacco, Billy. But Joe Flacco's red hot. 375 passing yards last week. And the week before, he had like 340. These 2 weeks are the highest passing totals he's had since 2018. It's wild times in Cleveland. Are you on Team Flacco or Team Carr here?
I'm going to go Flacco. This is the second highest over under the week, only behind the Charger Buffalo game, which is 43.5, 42.5 for this Cleveland Houston game. And even with no Stroud, they still have the line this high. So it might adjust once we get official word, but Flacco's been pretty good, man.
From the chat, need some good Tyreek and Pittman news. Sounds like Tyreek Hill is going to go. It sounds like Tyreek Hill is going to play against Dallas. The huge news for Tyreek Hill managers. And Michael Pittman, Billy, Michael Pittman's practicing today, which was like, you know, I was all writing him off. Michael Pittman, I mean, what great news. So, yeah, I think that with Pittman, you have to be a little bit cautious, but it sounds like Tyreek Hill is leaning towards playing. And you know, it's, we don't really have to discuss lineup decisions with those two guys. You're starting them if they are playing. But here's a difficult one. This is PPR, Billy, from Justin in the chat. He needs to sit one of these guys, Breece Hall, DeAndre Swift, or Devin Singletary. And I gotta say, I would struggle to sit Devin Singletary this week. I don't know. I feel like 2021 all over again. I feel like he's going to get all this volume. I really don't want to sit him, even though if we were asking this question, if 2 months ago, you would have said, what the hell are you doing? Take it off the screen.
Yeah. One territory for me. So I don't think that we can sit Singletary right now. You could make a real argument to sit Breece Hall. This Jets defense is absolutely atrocious, but the matchup is good. And so I think that we have to start Hall. Swift has also been absolutely atrocious as well, but he gets a New York Giants defense. But I think I'm sitting Swift here. In the last 3 weeks, he's gotten 2 fantasy points, 3.9 fantasy points, and 7.5 fantasy points. So a combined less than 13 fantasy points. I'm probably sitting Swift.
Okay. So we're sitting Swift in that one. Yeah. Breece Hall. I think I want him in the lineup against Washington. This could be like a, it seems like this game could get ugly, but I like the Jets a little bit in that spot. Here's a fun one, Billy. This is like what we talk about. This time of year, you either have really hard lineup decisions or you have all these guys that you've added through waivers and you're just grinding through. DeMarcus Robinson, this guy needs to pick, Paul, shout out to Paul in the chat. He needs to start only one of these guys, if I'm reading it correctly. DeMarcus Robinson, Rashid Shaheed, Pat Freiermuth, who's a little bit banged up, or Michael Wilson, and Arizona could be missing multiple wide receivers this week. DeMarcus Robinson scored a touchdown now in 3 straight games. Rashid Shaheed has that big play potential. I'll tell you what, Billy, for this one, for me, it's actually pretty easy. I'm swinging for it. I'm going Rashid Shaheed. And I want that. I want to start Thursday night with like a spike week. And I realize that there's some variance in that potential with Shaheed. But I think he's got the highest ceiling outcome of any of these 4 guys. Where are you at?
Yeah, Robinson definitely takes a bit of a dip now that we have Tutu Atwell cleared for Thursday Night Football. So I think if Tutu had been out, I think Robinson would have been the play again. But now that Tutu's back, I'm going to go Rashid Shaheed as well.
We have a tight end question in the chat. Dallas Goedert, Waller.
The answer is always likely.
Yeah, it's always Isaiah Likely, right? Isaiah Likely is just on one. Go with Isaiah Likely. How high is Isaiah Likely going to be for you in the rankings at Player Profiler this week, Billy?
He will likely be inside the top 10, Theo.
I will likely have to check out those rankings and see where it ends up. Shout out to the chat. Hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribing to us here at Player Profiler. Another guy who was on the show sheet was Ty Chandler. And I'll tell you a little funny story. Billy and I have a FFPC 350 that's battling it out. We had a nice week last week, but you really need to drop like 220 to feel good about things this time. So we're not quite there, but we're not like completely out of it. If we have a big week this week, we're
150. We're good.
Yeah, we put up 150. We're okay. We need like 220 this week, though. Yeah. But we had a conversation all week long about Jaden Reed versus Ty Chandler. And like, I text Billy like last minute, and I had a few Ty Chandlers rocking, but I wanted to cram in one more Jaden Reed. And I text Billy, I'm like, start Reed. And Billy missed it. And we ended up with Ty Chandler. Billy was leading that way anyway. So Ty Chandler, thankfully that he was still in that lineup. But Ty Chandler looked incredible. Very frustrating game to watch for Ty Chandler managers, because he looked so much better than Alexander Mattison has all season long. Now we have in the chat here, Ty Chandler, Jalen Warren, Devon Achane, or Isaiah Pacheco. We need to rank these guys. And then afterwards, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what you think Ty Chandler looks like moving forward. I'll say for this, for me, Billy, this is a really tough one. I think that Pacheco and Devon Achane would be my top two. But if Ty Chandler, actually, no, I take that back. Ty Chandler, if he has the backfield to himself again this week, I think might be one. And then after that is Achane and Pacheco, and then Jalen Warren in number four.
Yeah, I think if Madison's out again, Chandler is number one. If not, Achane's one, Chandler's two. Pacheco three, probably not going to be the full workload coming off injury, and then Warren four.
There we go. Billy, I want to follow up on one thing. Apparently you told me I've been mispronouncing your home state. I've been saying Oregon like really, really poorly. And you know, what's really funny is I did a podcast with Maddie Keemum and Cody Carpenter, where we talked about the 2024 draft class. And I guess we talked about like Troy Franklin or one of these guys from Oregon. And I had criticism about my pronunciation from somebody else, probably a fellow Oregonian like you. How am I supposed to say Oregon, Billy?
Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah,
Oregon. Oregon. Like organs in my body.
Yeah, Oregon.
Okay, Oregon. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I sent Theo a meme, and it was like Denzel Washington. It says, when your friends say Oregon...
Listen, guys, I'm trying my best here. Shout out to all of the Oregonians, however you want to say it. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that.
Oregon Trail, not the Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. Okay, Oregon Trail. Okay, I'm gonna try my best, guys. I'm gonna try my best here. We're doing the best that we can here on Long Island. Let's take one more start sit from the chat. Should he start Baker Mayfield, who's red hot, against Jacksonville, tricky game, or Brock Purdy? So that's his quarterback question. Let's do that one first.
I don't think Baker, he can sit Purdy.
Yeah, I think I'm going Purdy, despite the on paper difficult matchup.
Yeah.
But Matt Stafford had a lot of success against that Baltimore Ravens secondary. I think the secondary's been a little more generous than they were at the beginning of the year. So I'm with you. I'm going Purdy. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, I won a playoff game with him last week. Really, I'm kind of excited for that Jacksonville Tampa Bay game. That's a kind of a tilting game. A 42 point total. It could be fantasy friendly, but Baltimore San Francisco, that game's going to be incredible. I got to go Purdy in that one. I think it's a sneaky over environment. Then here's another one. Banged up Jaden Reed, who may not go.
I don't think he plays.
I don't either.
Dude, Green Bay is like, you have a hangnail, you don't play in Green Bay.
So it's going to be JSN because we don't think Reed's going to play. Who's the sneaky winner in Green Bay, Billy? Is this a elevate Tucker Kraft, or is this a Dontavian Wicks week?
It depends on the health of Musgrave. They opened up 21-day window. So if he's active, I think it's double tight end day. But it's if not, then I think Romeo Doubs is the biggest benefit. And then you're going to see Aaron Jones, who's probably going to see an uptick in passes as well. So I think those two are going to be the biggest beneficiaries outside of the tight end position.
Here's a defensive question. I've been dropping a bunch of defensive articles and defensive videos here at Player Profiler. Feel free to check them out. This one is rank these defensive special teams: Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, Denver Broncos. Billy, this is a fairly easy one for me. Buffalo Bills might be the best defensive play on the board this week against Easton Stick and the LA Chargers. Keenan Allen was ruled out already, and Buffalo shut down Dallas last week, and we had a 25-point game from the LA from the Las Vegas Raiders last week against the Chargers. Are you there on that one, Buffalo easy layup with this choice?
Yeah, I'd say Buffalo, and then I think Jets, and then Denver for me.
I would say Denver, Jets. I'm okay starting both of them. I don't think either one is going to kill you. Denver is a big favorite at home. You've got Bailey Zappe coming on the road into Mile High Stadium. But the Jets against Sam Howell, you might end up with like six sacks. So it's I'd feel fine about starting Jets or Broncos. I think they're legitimately both top 12 defenses, but Buffalo, I'm starting over almost anybody this week. One more defensive question, Billy. Cowboys, Steelers, Lions, Titans, or Commanders here? This one is tricky. The Cowboys play Miami.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got to downgrade by the matchup. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that's kind of interesting.
Against Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh's been a little bit disappointing lately, to say the least. They're heading south.
Detroit against Minnesota.
You know, I think that the Titans are sneaky this week. They have Seattle coming into Tennessee, just based on the fact that I think Tennessee's very good at rushing the quarterback.
It's going to be Geno this week.
Accumulating some sacks. I don't really love any of these, to be honest with you. But I think I might lean with the Titans. Which way would you go, Billy?
I lean Lions here. Okay. Normally, you know, Cowboys, I think, would be, of course, the easy one, but you got to downgrade versus Miami.
Got a lot of questions here in the chat. Let's get to a couple more. This one is, I don't know who to ride with, Chuba Hubbard or Rashi Rice for his flex. This is a half point PPR. Are you going Chuba or Rashi Rice?
I'm going Rice. He's been a top 12 wide receiver in half PPR for three of the last 4 weeks. He's kind of been the only bright spot inside the Chiefs offense, so I think they're going to lean into him more.
Yeah, and Rashi Rice, that's one, Billy, we're going to have to talk about. Like, we're going to start doing some of this like redraft content for 2024 and do like a way too early draft. But Rashi Rice, he might be like a third round pick next year in like FFPC main events. I think that the steam behind him all offseason is going to be wild. It's going to be like, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Chris Olave year two kind of steam.
Yeah, he's seen 38 targets in his last 4 weeks.
So, Billy, you said always start Isaiah Likely, but here's one. Trey McBride or okay, Isaiah
not,
Likely?
Not in this scenario.
Yeah, it's Trey McBride. It's Trey
There's
McBride.
There's like three sure. names that I would always start over Likely, but McBride is one of those three names.
And shout out to Senior Football. Non-PPR. Okay, so this is take PPR out of the equation. He has to sit one of these players. AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Rashi Rice, or Brandon Ayuk. And correlation could come into play here because Jalen Hurts is his quarterback, which right now, that's not like the greatest thing in the world to try to cram in your Philadelphia correlation. The passing game's been struggling a little bit. So non-PPR, gosh, that's a tough one, Billy. I think
I'm benching Smith and non-PPR.
I was going to say Smith. I think Smith is the one that I'm going to bench there. He definitely gets downgraded. Here's another one in the chat. Start two running backs and one flex. Okay, so we've got to pick two running backs out of this group. Let's do that one first. Kyren Williams, Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, and then he's got Rashi Rice, and then who's Davis here?
Gabe Davis.
This is Gabe. Yeah, I was going to say, Gabe, don't give us a Gabe Davis question.
Fuck
you. So this one, we're gonna put, I think, Kyren Williams. And for me, it's Jonathan Taylor. But are you going Breece Hall over Jonathan Taylor?
I'm
going
to go Hall over Taylor this week against Washington.
So Billy and I are butting heads on that one. And then easy layup, Rashi Rice is in your flex. Let's keep this going. Rashid Shaheed or David Montgomery.
I would like to caveat though on that last one. If Pittman's out, I'm starting Taylor over Hall.
Okay. So Billy's going to elevate Taylor if Michael Pittman sits.
Yep.
Okay. Here's one. This is an easy one right on the thumbnail.
Chandler.
Right on the sit. You're starting Ty Chandler over Austin Eckler. And I'm going to say, Billy, like, I don't want to start any LA Charger, and I really don't want Austin Eckler.
I'm starting Palmer.
I'm using Palmer in a spot or two. I'll give you that. He had four receptions, went over 100 yards, had a touchdown, only four targets, but I think that will double up this week after, you know, knowing he's healthy, he's got his feet wet. But let me give you a couple of Austin Eckler start sit decisions. Okay, Austin Eckler versus James Conner.
James Conner.
Austin Eckler versus Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams.
Okay, I'm going even lower. I'm going even lower. Austin Eckler versus Jerome Ford.
I'm going to go Jerome Ford.
Okay, Austin Eckler versus Chase Brown of Cincinnati with no Jamar Chase, and Chase Brown being very efficient, but only about 10 touches each game.
I would probably go Austin Eckler, but this is where the line's kind of being drawn. So Austin Eckler to me is an RB3. So if you look at his last two of his last three games, he is under 20 rushing yards, Theo.
Yeah.
And
he's
He's been absolutely horrible. And he's been propped up by targets is the only reason he's even been at least somewhat fantasy relevant. But if you look back to week 11, he's finished as RB 32 or worse in every contest except for week 14, where he scored the touchdown, where he finished as RB 8. And so it's been this atrocious matchup or this atrocious, you know, offense. And I don't trust him for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I think he's dust. Like Austin Eckler, you're telling, like, we all know how the story is going to go. He's going to end the year very poorly. Then during the offseason, there's going to be a little bit more juice saying how he's healthy. He's in a situation. He'll end up being like a sixth round pick. People are going to fall on that. I'll have none. I really don't think there's a scenario that I'm going to get excited about Austin Eckler next year. Once these older running backs start to show a decline, rarely do they bounce back. Like, I'm not an ageist. Give me a bunch of Christian McCaffrey next year, but I'm not gonna add Austin Eckler. I think he's done. I really do. Guys, here's a one in the chat, and shout out to the person trying to pay us $10. I missed it. You know, Billy and I could have used that, you know, $5 each in our pocket, but you know, shout out to you for putting that in there. We'll still try to get your question. Shout out to Adam in the chat. Amari Cooper, Billy's favorite wide receiver of all time, Joshua Palmer, or Jordan Addison, who had two touchdown catches, caught all six of his targets last week and looked incredible. He's got nine receiving touchdowns on the season now. What a player Jordan Addison is. Billy, although in this situation, I am going Amari Cooper.
Yep.
If I'm picking one of these guys.
It's Cooper, Addison, Palmer in that order for me. I just think that Palmer is good for a big play, but it could be, you know, pretty inconsistent along the way.
Okay, so this is, we don't know the scoring on this, so let's assume PPR. Adam, again in the chat, flex pick two, Bijan Robinson. God, what horrible usage last week from Arthur Smith for Bijan. But three previous games, Bijan crushed. Jonathan Taylor, Jordan Addison, Amari Cooper, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jalen Waddle. He's got very good flex choices. I'll say if Tyreek misses, Jalen Waddle would be like my number one here.
I think Waddle's a must start this group anyway, so Waddle's in for me immediately. And I think it's probably Bijan because we're just going to live and die by Arthur Smith, apparently.
It's just terrible. We're boycotting FedEx and the Gremminger household until they make a coaching change. Guys, here we're going to go PPR. Kenneth Walker, who came back and looked fantastic, and that whole notion of, you know, let's bench every running back against Philly, Ken Walker went nuts. Ken Walker or Devon Achane this week?
Ken Walker.
Yeah, you know, I'm an Achane guy, but I love me some Ken Walker this week. He looked so good. Here's one. Jordan Love or Matt Stafford? This is an interesting one, Billy. I think I'm going to go Matt Stafford in this one.
Yeah, I like Matt Stafford this week as well. He's been pretty damn good. So I think we have to start him.
Yeah, I think we're rolling Matt Stafford. I think he's going to really end the year well. Here's one for you, and this is assuming Alexander Mattison misses another game. Are we going Saquon Barkley or are we going Ty Chandler? And I'm going to say I am fairly easily Ty Chandler on this one.
Oh, this one's close. I'm going to lean Barkley.
You're leaning Barkley. Okay. All right. You're feeling a Saquon game, Billy.
I am. It's his due.
Okay. I like that one. I like that one. So Billy is elevating Saquon Barkley. Look for Saquon to have a big game this week. We're going to pick two here. Two PPR plays here. Josh Jacobs, Ty Chandler, or James Conner. So again, Jacobs, Chandler, or Conner. And we need to pick two of them. Again, it's Ty Chandler fairly easily for me, and it's Josh Jacobs if he plays, and I'm sitting James Conner. Would you go any way different?
No, Jacob. Yeah, I agree with you here.
Okay, so we're both on the same page. It's taking it to the wide receiver spot. George Pickens or my guy, Dontavian Wicks?
George Pickens or Dontavian Wicks? Let's play this one by ear. If Reed is out, I would probably lead Wicks. But if Reed is in, I go Pickens.
Okay, so there you go. Look for the injury report before going with that one. I like this kid Wicks, and I'll say it's funny, Billy, because we trash Brian Gutekunst for all these years for like his decisions, but he's hit on all of them lately. Like Christian Watson last year, had can't stay on the field, but you got to say that that's a win of a draft pick in the second round. Mm-hmm. Romeo Dubs is a win for the fifth rounder, even though we don't love him. And then this year, Jaden Reed is an absolute baller. Musgrave and Kraft are both wins, and Dontavian Wicks is a win. So, you know, shout out Brian Gutekunst. I still think you made a mistake not drafting T. Higgins and Michael Pittman for Aaron Rodgers, but lately you've been doing all right. You've been doing all right. Somebody in here is trashing the Oregon Trail. Billy, I don't know if you want to ban them. Here we go. Projected to lose by 12. So this is interesting. A lot of times when you look at these projections, I think this can be very helpful because this can influence my decisions whether to go like with a ceiling play or a floor play. So he has Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields. Now, who has the highest possible ceiling outcome between the two of them in a game where he thinks he's going to be chasing points?
I mean, I think we always say Hurts has the highest ceiling. I'm going Hurts here. I was gonna try to make an argument Fields. I mean, I have them both inside the, so it's kind of like splitting hairs, but Jalen Hurts to me is good for two rushing touchdowns almost any game.
Yeah, and shout out to the Tush Push. All these people who want to ban the Tush Push, what's wrong with you people? We like touchdowns. We like high scoring fantasy players. We want the Tush Push to stay around forever. Here's one for you, Garrett Wilson or T. Higgins. T. Higgins highly elevated this week with no Jamar Chase. Which way are you going between these two players?
T. Higgins.
Me too. I like T a lot this week. I'm cramming him into any single lineup I can. And Billy, I actually have one big dynasty league, a very high stakes FFPC one that I'm in the final four this week. And I made this big move where I traded like a package where it was like T. Higgins and what should be a late first to get Tyreek Hill and Devin Singletary towards the end of the trade deadline. And I feel like that was a huge win for me until last week when it looked like Tyreek Hill was going to miss and I would have had this incredible production from T. So it was very, very tilting for me last week, but I took care of business and I might take down a really big one with that one because Tyreek Hill is going to be back. So, but I'm happy for my other teams with T. Higgins. Here's one. A couple of Isaiah Pacheco questions here, Billy. Pacheco or Jordan Addison in the flex?
I'm probably not waiting until Monday Pacheco's back on the practice field, but I still have some concerns, so I'm probably going Addison.
Okay, here's one more Pacheco question. Jacoby Myers, Adam Thielen, or Pacheco? I think if Pacheco's healthy, I'm going Pacheco in this situation.
Yeah, I just kind of contradicted myself now, but I trust Addison more than I trust Thielen and Jacoby at this point. So I'd probably go Pacheco here.
Okay, here's one more. Starting two of these, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks, Jaden Reed, who's not going to play, and Noah Brown, who might not play.
Yeah, I think you're kind of limited.
So we'll go Chris, we'll go Chris Godwin and Brandon Cooks because health is wealth this time of year. We'll get a couple more questions, guys. We got to get Billy out of here pretty soon. Let me see if I get a couple more down here. Eckler, Chase Brown, Darren Waller, or Adam Thielen? He's got to pick one in the flex. I might go, I might go Darren Waller in this one, Billy.
Yeah, I'd probably gamble with Waller here.
Okay, so we're both going Darren Waller. That's a flex. We're going to assume PPR with Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Adam Thielen, and Darren Waller. Here's one. PPR, really, really, shout out to Turkey Sub, man, in the chat. What a wonderful decision to be able to make. Hashtag win your title. Rashee Rice or Mike Evans? This is a very difficult one, Billy, for me to try to make a decision on.
Yeah, I have them back-to-back, 10 and 11, the receiver rankings, but I don't think you can bench Mike Evans. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I think I'm going Mike Evans. I think he's like a top six play for me this week, especially considering how bad Jacksonville has been against opposing wide receivers. Here's a question in the chat. This was in the show sheet. We didn't get to it because we've been ripping through so many questions. But Nico Collins, if he plays, Billy, are you cramming him into all of the lineups? And I'll say this. I'll give you a caveat. If Nico Collins plays and Noah Brown misses, and then how about if Nico Collins plays and Noah Brown plays and they're both out there on the field?
If Collins is in, I'm playing Collins.
Okay, so it's regardless of whether Noah Brown is out there.
Correct.
Okay, cool. So I'm elevate your Nico Collins, everyone. Let's see. Here we go. Broncos defense.
I got time for one more, Theo, and I got to run.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll get you right out of here. Okay, so let's get one more. Let me find a good one, Billy. Okay, full PPR. Terry McLaurin, Jaden Reed, Puka Nacua, DK Metcalf. We got to pick two of these. I'm gonna go with
Puka and DK pretty easily for me.
Billy, let everybody know about the Dominator, what you guys have. I know that this Saturday you're not going to be around, but let everybody know what's going on with the Dominator.
Dominator, Bradley's been filling in for me the last couple of weeks doing start sits on Saturday. I'm going to be traveling this weekend, so I'm not going to be doing it. I got to shoot Bradley a text still. Thanks for the reminder. But Tune and Bradley's been doing those. I don't know if he's doing it, but keep an eye out on Twitter.
Awesome, guys. And check out Sonic Truth Dynasty Podcast. We're going to be here tomorrow morning at 10 or 10:30 in the morning with the Podfather, Alan Sislowski, and myself. Have a wonderful Christmas. And let's, we're here, Billy. It's time to get some W's, time to win some championships. Stick with us here at First Class Fantasy all throughout the offseason as well.